ready to record. The title this morning is The Enemy's Help. The Enemy's Help, Part 9. The Enemy's Help, Part 9. It's December 2nd, 2012. We're going to finish the year strong. Amen? Amen. I want to show you something. See what happens when you do things God's way? See, you get the progress. You can start moving things, you know, that you couldn't move. And then you can get, you know, almost how about 85% range, you know, and you can move. And I started thinking about the therapy I'm going through is just like the Word of God. It's process. 1 month ago yesterday, I had the surgery. 1 month ago today, I had my first therapy visit. I'm 2 weeks ahead of schedule because of him, but I work at it. I have to do it 5 days or 7 days a week. I go to therapy 3 days. The other 4 days are on me. I could blow those off, but I know that if I don't do it, I will have some stiffness and I won't be able to move it. And I have to kind of move my... But now, see, I can move it up and I can use it to praise him. What the devil meant for harm, God turns out for good. Amen. So think about this illustration this morning as you're getting this word. We're on the 9th week of this. It's been a process. And you're going to learn something this morning about how the devil tries to kill your dreams. We're going to talk about that this morning. We've said in the last few weeks that the arrival of an enemy is a sign that your present season is finally coming to an end. Say, my season is about to change. I'm walking into a new season with the blessing of God. See, we got to know that there's a new season. In order to have progress in your life, the enemy is required to propel you to the next steps. We said that there's a Goliath, there's a Pharaoh, and there's a Satan. And they're there to try to block you from where your destiny is to really be. God wants to bless you. God wants to take you to new levels. The devil fights you because of who you're becoming. You're starting to sound like Jesus. You're starting to act like Jesus. You don't do the things you used to do. Devil's fighting it. He doesn't want you to succeed. Challenges come to test you who you already are. There's some stuff in you, and all God wants to do is make sure that stuff is coming out. It's a test. There's already greatness in you. All you have to do is just walk into things of God. Allow God to walk and work through you. Allow God to play a part of your role in your life. You got to call on Jesus sometimes. I call on him daily. I want to be connected to him. Amen. For those that you hang around with, many of us text our friends every day. Many times we call our friends every day. But how many times do we call on Jesus? He should be our best friend. I mean, I was thinking about that. I said, you know, I call my friends, you know, I talked to my one friend back in Michigan who works for the auto companies. He was my business partner, Sturgeon. And I got to talk to him, and he said, we let too much time go by. We haven't, you know, we usually talk, you know, every quarter, and we missed the Thanksgiving time. And you know, but he's a good friend. Well, God's a great friend. I got a Jesus. I need to be communicating with him more often. Amen? Because there's a target on our back. The devil's out to stop the plans of God in our life. The enemy hates your potential and the greatness that's inside of you, and that's why he tries to fight you. Because once God declares movement is about to happen in your life, the enemy always creates the winds, doesn't he? He creates the waves. He tries to rock your boat. And you got to remember, anything that is in seed form, anything that's in a small form of a seed, is easier to pull out of the ground than something that's been planted for 40 years like an oak tree. It'd take a little bit more work to pull out a 40-year-old oak tree than it does a little acorn that's been under the ground for about a year. Amen? Faith comes by hearing, not seeing. Most people think the opposite of faith is doubt. It's not true. The opposite of faith is sight. Because what happens is the devil tries to get you to see something. And God's saying, I don't walk by sight. I walk by faith. He tries to use that to distract you and to detour you. We said that last week. Because there's greatness in you. Every one of you have this great potential. And sometimes that seed that's been placed in you is underground 90% of the time before it takes root, but when it starts to take root and burst through the ground, look out. Devil ain't happy. Amen. So we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 4:17 this morning. That's been our foundation scripture. 2 Corinthians 17. It says, for our light affliction. That's all we're going through. We're going through some light afflictions. We're going through a little misery. We might be going through a few things, but it's just for a moment. Because in God's eye, you know, we think years are long. God's saying, that's just like a second for me. But it's for a moment. It is working far for us, far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at things which are seen, but things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen, guess what? Are eternal. So the things that we've seen are just temporary. The car I got's just temporary. Eventually it'll rust and have a million miles on it and it'll be in some junkyard somewhere. My clothes will eventually wear out and I have to give it away and have to get something new. Because these are things you see, but the things that you don't see, oh, those are the things of God that are coming your way. They'll take you a little by surprise like Dell did last week when he seen the sun. It took him by surprise. Why? That's how God does things. Because he loves you. If you knew about your gift, amen, it wouldn't be a surprise. Amen. Now I want to share with you this morning about the enemy and how he tries to kill your dreams. The enemy tries to be a dream killer. And I want to share a couple scriptures with you this morning because he's up to the same old thing he's been doing for over 2,000 years. He tries to kill the dream that's been inside. He tries to rob the cradle, per se. Take a look at Numbers 13. Numbers, the New Living Translation of Numbers 13, verse 25. We're going to start there. That's why there's math in school, guys, young ones. God even had in the Bible numbers. So you got to know numbers. Amen. Too good to be forgotten. Always remember that. Too good to be forgotten. That's his word. Amen. Too good to be forgotten. Numbers 13, 25. New Living Translation, says, after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit which they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey, just like Jesus said it would be, just like God spoke to them. Here is the kind of fruit it produces, but the people living there are powerful. Oh, there's just like the enemy. Oh, they're powerful, and the towns are large, and they're fortified, and we even saw giants there, and descendants of Anak, and the Amalekites lived there, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Nobabites, and the Homo-Hojo-Baduba-Duba-Dubadites, amen? We're all there. And the Canaanites, they live by the coast, by the Mediterranean Sea, and along the Jordan Valley. See, the devil tries to paint a picture of something not good. But did not God give them, didn't we say when God gives you a word, he's going to follow it through, he's going to make sure that it comes to fruition one way or another. You're going to get completed. You might do it kicking and screaming and crying and moaning, but he's going to get done what he said he's going to do. And once you had the word, like the guys in the boat last week, Jesus was in a boat. He says, we're going to go to the other side. Didn't he say that? He didn't say that there might not be a storm that might come. He might didn't say the boat might break in half and you have to swim across, but he said his word will, you'll get to the other side. Jesus said that they're going to go to a land. God said that Moses would bring them into a land where there's flowing of milk and honey. It was going to be a beautiful place. It was going to be something awesome. But then he sent these men over to go check it out before they all entered in. And just like the devil, a dream killer, a dream stealer, said, hey, man, there's some big folk over there, man. It's fortified, and there's all these different groups there. They, the Hittites and the Ammonites, and they're all big, and some of them are giants, you know. They play for a big basketball team or something over there. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses and said, "Let's go at once and take the land," he said. See, he already gotten the word. Remember, we got to go into the promise. We got to step over. It don't matter what's over there. God's going to take care of us because God gave us the word. Now, we might have some opposition. You may have a test or a trial in your life. You might have to battle about a cancer because the devil tried to take you out. But God's above that. The name of Jesus heals that. But the other men who explored the land with him disagreed. "We can't go against them. They're stronger than we are. God does more with less. I just want you to know." So they spread this bad report, just like the devil would do, about the land among the Israelites. "The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers." And that's what they thought too. Let me stop there for a second. The devil will always try to belittle you. The devil will always try to make a mountain out of a molehill. The devil will always try to make things appear larger and bigger that you can't succeed in it. Your dreams are so big that the devil doesn't want you to succeed because he knows he'll be overtaken. So he tries to make them in a way that he tries to scare you. He tries to use tactics to detour you and distract you. Take a look at Numbers 14, verse 5. We're going to skip there. "Then Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground before the whole community of Israel. Two of the men that explored the land, one was named Joshua, and the other one was named Caleb. And they tore their clothing, and they said to all the people of Israel," God bless you, "the land we traveled and explored is a wonderful land." God wasn't going to send them somewhere where it was going to be a dump. God was setting them up for paradise on earth. These boys knew it. And he said, "And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into the land and give it to us. It is rich land, flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord," oh my God, "the Lord is with us. Us, don't be afraid of them." Let me tell you something. Oh man, I just want to dance. When the Lord is with me, I ain't afraid of nothing. When the Lord is with you, you should never be afraid. I don't care. I mean, you just think about the Bible, how God pared down armies, and then he used Gideon's army. It was only like about 300. It started off massively, and he began to cut it down, and they only had about 300. And people were going, yeah. People speak about this church in the same manner. They said, "How can you just have this small group of people like a bunch of disciples? And you get so much done with just a few. And we have a big church, and we don't even go do the things that you do." And I says, "I'm not afraid to take the land of milk and honey. God already said it's mine. I'm just going to go take it. Because he's with me." That's what the Bible says. "They're only helpless prey to us. They have no protection because I've got the Lord with me." The 10 tried to weaken Israel's passion for the promised land. We know that Joshua and Caleb, they were two that spoke vocally, say, "Hey, no, hey. We can go take that land. We have the dream." But there were 10 that were dream killers. You might want to write this down. Do you know who who the 10 were that had the negative report? Who cares? Nobody cares. Because here's the deal. Negative people never, ever stand out significantly when history is recorded. They just blend in. Negative people that have been speaking about you, have been saying some foul things about you, that said you'll never succeed, you'll never amount to nothing. It's the color of your skin, or it's the way you speak, or because you stutter, this or that. And negative people never stand out significantly when history is recorded. They just blend in. Negative people allowed to speak in your life will become agents of destruction for your purpose. Negative people are never recorded in history. Not when something great was about to happen. You don't remember all those guys that put Jesus to the cross. There was only a couple names that were said, but all the other ones that did it, they fell away. They weren't even really accounted for. See, an enemy will always try to weaken your passion for your dream. An enemy will always try to weaken your passion for a dream. That's why the devil is under your feet. You got to know that. He's under your feet. He can't steal your dream. He's trying to reach out and pull that dream out of you, trying to slow you down, but he's under your feet. Oh, Pastor, the Old Testament. I mean, that's how they did it in the Old Testament. That's good. I'm going to give you one in the New Testament, so you'll have one in both. Because, see, in the Old Testament, we'd say, well, you know, God this and God that, and he promised them the land. And okay, there was a couple, 10 guys that, you know, kind of lied about the report. Kind of cheated on their taxes a little bit. To try to kill the dream that God had placed in the promised land. And when people bought the lie, they all didn't go except for two made it into the promised land. What were those two? Caleb. Joshua. Why? Because they told everybody, we going. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. How many years of people we know wandered in the wilderness? Because of the devil trying to steal our dream. God wanted you to have something, a big business 5 years ago, but we allowed him to steal our dream. Take a look at Mark 10, verse 46. This is out of the New Living Translation also. You're going to like this. Mark 10, 46. I know this is helping somebody. Mark 10, 46. Then they reached Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, a larger crowd followed him. A blind beggar named, what's his name? Bartimaeus. Was sitting beside the road. And when this man heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But what was the response of the people? Be quiet. Many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. And he threw aside his coat and jumped up and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do? Jesus asked. Now Jesus already knew the scenario. But when you call upon the name of Jesus, he does respond. Sometimes he responds in a question. What do you want me to do? He already knows. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the beginning and the end. He already knows. But he wants to know, do you know? That when you call upon his name, he's about to change something for you. I think about this guy. Being blind and just wanting his sight. probably dreamed his whole life to be able to see again. I don't know what it is to be blind, but I know what it is to have aches or pains or not be able to walk for a period of time or having your shoulder in a position you can't do the things you'd want to do. He couldn't even see. But my dream was that he could see. And he heard that Jesus was coming by. He knew about this Messiah. So he shouted. He got a little radical. He got a little boisterous. Because he wasn't going to allow people to steal his dream. It says, "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, not 3 weeks later, not 4 hours later, not 15 minutes later, instantly, that's like right now, the man could see. And then he followed Jesus down the road. He didn't get what he wanted. He said, "Give me Jimmy and go." Amen. He got what he needed from Jesus and then followed him. Because there was still more of the dream that was going to be taken care of in his life. God's put some dreams in you. And sometimes you got to get a little radical when negativity and criticism starts to surround you. Let me share with you. People criticize my wife and I about stepping out and starting a church. Who made you? What made you special? Why do you have to have a church? I didn't want one. I just couldn't find another one that was preaching the word. And God said, "You're going to do this one. I want you to step out. I've trained you for years. Now it's time for you to step out." The criticism that we got. How are you going to do it? You got no money. You got no backers. It's not like, I said, "But I got God who will supply all my needs." I said, "Lord, how about my dream about being a comedian? I always wanted to be a comedian." He goes, "I'm going to give you center stage and you can have fun with my word and have people laugh as they're crying inside." So he is fulfilling my dream. Don't let people shut you up. You need to birth that dream that's been placed inside of you. We said there's a great potential in you. The devil tries to come to kill your dreams. You can't have that promised land. "No, but God said I can." No, you can't. You can't finish that college degree. You're 40 years old. You ain't going back to school. Who do you think you are? I'm God's chosen. I'm one of God's elect. I can do it because God said I can. If you passively live life, it's going to pass you by and the enemy will tear you to pieces. The enemy is a major participant in propelling you to your destiny. I'm going to close with this. The enemy is there to propel you, to push you forward, to move you. Take a look at Romans 8:35. Are you getting anything this morning? Romans 8:35. The New King James Version says it this way. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Although you're going through some stuff, even though you feel persecuted, even though somebody's trying to crush your dream, people are talking about you. You're getting more blessed when people are talking about you. When the distress comes and the pearls come and the sword comes against you And God says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You're more than a conqueror. I mean, the conqueror means you already won, but you're more than that. That means you already have victories in advance that you don't even know about. Because to be a conqueror means that I'm already in charge. I'm number one. But when God says something that you're more than a conqueror, that must mean there's something more to come and there's more battles to come. But I've already won those in advance. I won by default. That's why the dream can't be killed, can't be destroyed in your life. Only if you allow him. See, if the enemy knew that all he was doing was making you greater by bringing these adversities in your life, he would back off. He'd delete you from his email list. He'd no longer be your friend on Facebook. He would just forget you altogether. He don't want to be by you. He don't want to associate, because all he's doing is helping propel you. The enemy's help is propelling you to be successful in life. Because see, God has a plan for you. And see, the devil, if he knew everything that God had for you, he would back off right now. Because you wouldn't have nothing to fight against. If everything was going great, you'd probably backslide a little bit because everything's going good. Most people that got everything going good, like the rich ruler, who had everything, but I had to sell it all. People that got it all going good don't usually come to church because they think they got it all going good until something happens that resets the clock and they have to come back and say, everything ain't good. See, God always brings through. He uses the devil kind of as like a pawn to catapult you, to propel you towards your destiny. Let me close with the scripture in Ephesians 1:5. Second closing. Ephesians 1:5. It's the New Living Translation. I love the way this says this. Because it says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. Let me stop right there. God decided way back when that he was going to adopt us. Adoption, let me tell you, is something that you choose to do, that you want to do. I want to adopt a child. I'm going to have to fork out some big bills to get the little baby and adopt her or adopt him. Amen? My wife and I have thought about adopting teenagers. That way they can cook and clean, do the laundry, mow our grass, and, you know, just doing his kid. But our teenagers ain't doing that, so if I, how are you going to adopt them? I'm just kidding. But he decided in advance to adopt us in his own family. He making us special. We're taking on his name. And those dreams that are in you, when you're connected to the Father, he's going to allow you to finish them. And he says he adopts you into his own family and brings you to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him great pleasure. He put a dream inside of you. He's put greatness inside of you. He's put potential inside of you. He's put things inside of you you can't even comprehend yet. And he's not tied to time. He's not basing it upon your age. He's not basing it upon what education level you had. I mean, Moses was a stutterer. And he used them. But people tried to kill that dream. The devil hates your potential because you have greatness inside of you. You all have this greatness and this plan, and God has already put it into action. God is already moving it forward, and what he starts, he always completes. We got to take the word of God and believe it. Hold it true that God's word has been given to you specially, and you're going to go out and get it done. Don't allow the enemy to kill your dreams that God has placed within you. You got to stand up for what God has shown you, like Caleb did and Joshua did. You got to be like the blind Bartimaeus. I can't see, but oh, there's a Jesus coming. Hey, I'm over here. And people are saying, shut up. Quit talking about that Jesus. He don't have time for you. Hey, Jesus, I'm the blind dude over here. I got a dream. A dream is to see again. Not going to be shut down. You're coming when the Messiah's coming. I don't want to get to him. No matter what it takes. It might mean a couple more hours on your knees praying. Might mean need fasting a meal or not watching your favorite TV program and just spending that hour with Jesus. I don't know how bad you want it. Allow the struggles and the testing in your life to conform you into the image of Christ. If the enemy knew what you know right now, he would remove you from his hit list and he'd stay clear from what's inside of you. But he's a fool. And he hasn't figured out yet, the more he messes with you, the more he propels you into God's plan and into your destiny. If he was smart, he would have already hit that erase button and said, I ain't even being friends with that person on Facebook. No. I got these other ones that are jacked up on drugs and alcohol. I'll just be their friends. But no. He wants to mess with you. Remember this, that dynamite is not powerful until the fuse is lit by the fire of God. And once it's lit, look out, devil, because you're going to explode and everything that's around it is going to be rearranged. It's going to be transformed. It's going to be different than the way it was. It may not be standing anymore. Because when dynamite gets in there, it moves things. It moves that sickness out of your life. It removes that disease out of your life. It moves those painted above people that were giving you a hard time. When dynamite, it may even shake the foundation of some people that be connected to you. But until it's lit by the fire of God, it's just a piece of dynamite. It ain't going to have no effect. And what God is doing is he's loading your wagon with a little bit more dynamite. You're a little bit more C4, I think it's called. Isn't it called C4? He's loading you with a little bit more explosives so you can take out the enemy that tries to come your way. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And faith comes by hearing and not by what we see. This morning we must allow the Holy Spirit to guide us through the Word of God that's been planted in our life, and go live the dream that God has placed within you. Martin Luther King, he had a dream. He did whatever it took to get that dream out. It cost him his very life because people tried to shut him down. But what they don't realize is that when they took his life, and not to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So they tried to kill the dream. They killed the man. But the dream is still going on. Devil tried to kill it. Killed the man, but he don't care. I'm with Jesus. Well, Pastor, how do you know? He was a man of God. Doesn't matter what color, what race, the dream is still going on. Because what God places inside of you, he will somehow, some way, bring it to end. It may not be the way you like it. It may you be kicking and dragging it. God, I want to. But he's only trying to help you. God's got big plans for you. God's going to use you in ways that you have no idea. I look back at our journey, 9 years in the ministry so far here. He's done some stuff that surprises us. Still keeps me on my toes. We talk about it all the time. Remember when God did that for us? Remember when we had to sell our stuff just to make the rent payment, but then God did this for us when we were obedient? It hurt a little bit. I want to tell you, we had to sell her car. Well, really, my motorcycle first, but I sold her car first. And then, you know, God said, well, I'm going to even that deal up. I'm going to sell your motorcycle. It hurt for a little bit. Just a little bit. What did we say in 2 Corinthians, wasn't it? That it's only for 2 Corinthians 4, it's only a light affliction, but just for a moment. Car didn't mean nothing to her at the end of the day. Didn't mean nothing to me to have that motorcycle. And to give it all to God is like, who cares? But back then, like, God, what are you doing? What kind of testimony am I going to have? A good one. A great one. See, a lot of us settle for good when God has planned for you great. And the devil said, hey, your dream is great, but you're settled for good. Don't settle for good. Settle for great. Isn't God great? Isn't he greatly to be praised? Aren't you a king's kid? Don't you think that you will be praised too in a great way? Don't you think the dream is bigger than you can handle? That's why you need God involved in it. Let him be the pilot, you be the co-pilot. Lord, just take the wheel. I'm almost following where we're going, man. Let's just go. Don't know what road we're going to go down. Don't know if it has a nice pavement or if it's a dirt bumpy road. I don't know. But I know that we're going to get to where we're going to get somehow, some way, because you said so. And no devil in hell is going to stop me from getting to that promised land, nor is he going to stop you from getting to your promised land. He's not going to stop you from being able to see when you were blind. But you might have to get a little radical. You may have to turn up the heat a little bit around people. Come on. Christmas season's here. It ain't about the gifts, it's about Jesus. Maybe you just walk around the mall, just praise you, Jesus, and let people look at you like, ah, Jesus, I'm coming in here, I'm going to get the best deal. Oh, Jesus, find me that front row parking spot. When all these people are looking for a spot, Lord, you got a front row for me, baby. And if you don't have one in front, you must have a long one in the back, because I'm going to be able to talk to a lot of people before I get into the mall. He got a good plan. I better than our plan. Use the enemy. Allow him to help you succeed. Allow him to push you, nudge you a little bit. As we bless these families that will be coming in for Christmas, as we go to the hospital to bless those that are sick and needing a touch from Jesus, let us be bold enough to pray for them and believe that they're going to be healed. I may not be able to speak Spanish, but I speak in tongues, and God will get through. Amen. Shout with me this morning. I'm blessed, and I will praise Jesus with all that's within me. God, help me out. Complete my dream that you started in me. I will not ever be silenced when Jesus walks by my life. I will shout. I got great potential. I will not be defeated. I am increasing. I'm gaining more ground. I have the victory. I'm a winner. I'm more than a conqueror. Through Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord some praise this morning. A little hand clap. Did you get anything this morning? You got big dreams. Because you got a big God. And the dreams aren't supposed to be fulfilled by yourself. You got to have a partner named Jesus. And the Holy Spirit. And God. You got to have some partners in your business. Steve Wynn didn't start his business on his own. He had gotten some partners with him that had some cash. And they invested in him. Well, I'm just saying, I got a partner who's got, you know, a 1,000 cattle, amen? And he owns all the land, amen? And he knows every hair on my head, amen? And I'm connected to a big network. It's bigger than AT&T. It's bigger than Verizon, amen? I'm connected. I got friends and family, amen, in high places. I got some relatives that took down Goliath. Think about that. I got some kin that whooped on Pharaoh. And I had a Jesus that defeated the devil on my behalf. So nothing is too big for our God. So the dreams that you have, don't allow the devil to even smolder that fire. Go ahead and say, devil, light this fuse. I got something I want to share with you. It's kind of like a birthday, early birthday gift with a little pop to it. Amen? Because things will begin to change and shake when that dynamite gets lit. Things will come off you. People will take notice. You might have to, you have so much dynamite, it'll be like imploding one of those big casinos. And it goes, that's the potential that's inside of you. Think about that this week. When those casinos come down and all that comes crashing down with that explosive, that's what's inside of you. That's what was inside of Jesus when he rose from the dead and fulfilled the scriptures and took the keys of hell and the grave and defeated death. That's in you. That's why you can't be defeated. That's why you're the champ. That's why you're number one. That's why you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Lord, bless your people. Lord, as they go forth, let them have their best week ever. Lord, wherever they shop for Christmas, they get the best deals. That they call on the name of Jesus and they thank you in advance for all that you're going to do for them. Because it's not about the gifts, Lord God, but boy, the testimonies we can have about the great deals you gave us, and we can share that with people. Man, you're going to believe what God did for me. He blessed me here. He blessed me there. He gave me favor over here. He done this for me this season. And Lord, and we'll share that with everyone we come into. Lord, we're going to be almost obnoxious because we were blinded, but now we see. And now, Lord God, we'll follow you for eternity. We ask you to bless your people. Lord, we pray over our cake and our coffee. Lord God, we ask you to bless it. Lord God, use us this week as your vessel to pour through. Let us use the enemy to help propel us to our destiny. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen and amen. You are dismissed. Amen.